This is Equestrian Legacy Radio.
His look was James Dean, I was that rebel queen. He was a sight of Texas I had never seen. I had all that I could do to stay in my seat. Free falling like never before. There was no ceiling, there was no floor. And we didn't wanna get off that Ferris wheel. One cool kiss. He licked the cotton candy from my lips. In the tunnel of love, my heart jumped ship. I was sure blown away by the fireworks. We were hotter than the blazing high noon. Full moon in Galveston at the county fair. Hearts holding on, hands letting go. We were so high, we couldn't see below. Sitting side to side on a slow ride. Were we moving way too fast? I never felt anything like this. It was bliss from his first kiss. One cool kiss. At the end of the night, our shadows dance in moonlight. Our souls hanging with the stars only made it harder to say goodbye. Hearts pulling on, hands letting go. We were so high, we couldn't see below.
You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Today on Equestrian Legacy Radio, our guests are Ann Clemons, New Mexico horsewoman, artist, and author. And joining us around the Campfire Cafe is the very talented Nashville recording artist, Stephanie Lane. The Campfire Cafe is brought to you today by our great sponsors found in the General Store and the Gallery at East of Santa Fe. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the equestrian lifestyle at the General Store and the Gallery at East of Santa Fe on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. When we come back, we'll be talking with Stephanie Lane.
Don't you know you're tempting me?
That's Stephanie Lane's Run, 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 and Stephanie is a Minnesota cowgirl who is now one of Nashville's rising stars. And Stephanie, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Gary. It's good to be here.
Well, it is good to have you. We have a lot of things that are in common. Both of us love horses, and both of us have lawn guys that like to cut the grass at about the same time. So,
that is true.
Hopefully there won't be an interruption in there. But anyway, yeah. We're really glad to have you on the show today, and it was fun speaking with you the other day. Would like to talk a little bit about your background with horses, and I know you were involved in rodeo as well as music. So tell us a little bit about Stephanie Lane.
Well, that's great. Yeah, horses, I've always been a horse lover for sure, and grew up on a ranch just outside of Northfield, Minnesota, and my family rodeoed and raised horses, and we had Paints and Quarters and Morgans, and so we raised a bunch of foals every year, and we'd train them, and did a lot of showing as well, and we just had a great little operation going there for a number of years, and I still love horses. I'm just, you know, here in the big city of Nashville, so I don't get to ride as often as I used to, but I definitely grew up on horseback.
Well, that's terrific. Well, now, did you participate in rodeo activities yourself growing up?
You know, I'll tell you, my brother-in-laws were very active, and my sister was active in rodeo. I was one of the cheerleaders, I guess. I went along with them a bunch. I did some barrel racing and a little bit of roping or whatever on our property. But for the most part, I was a cheerleader, and I was the one who helped them drive to different rodeos and things like that. And, I've always had a big interest in rodeo, though I never ultimately, you know, competed. Yeah.
Well, you know, everybody needs a good ground crew, so that's a good thing.
That's
that is
right.
A good thing. Well, when did you get started? Yeah, when did you get started with your music?
Well, my parents would probably tell you that it happened in the crib. I used to like to see myself to sleep. And so that's sort of the beginning stages of that. My family was always sort of musical on both sides. And I picked up the guitar at the age of, I believe I was 17 years old. My aunt Annie had bought me a guitar at a flea market for $17. And so I went to Wes Holt, the guitar teacher, for a number of years, and he was just so patient, you know, with me. And so I learned on that old classical flea market guitar. and then I sang all the way through school, and it was in different choirs and competitions and things like that along the way, and ensembles and things like that. And so those were kind of the starting stages of that. And through college, I did some touring with the choir that I was involved in overseas, and had a really good experience. And from there on, it just kind of, after college, joined a band out of Minnesota, Minneapolis, and they were the High Noon Band. I just kind of thought, well, I better go out for that. And it was a good opportunity for me because I was able to play a lot of different places and really connect with a lot of people out of Minnesota and develop a fan base and so forth.
Well, when you went to school, mm-hmm. what did you intend to do? Did you major in music, or did you have other plans?
Well, actually, I've always been very artistic in many ways, musically and visual arts. And so I started with an animal science degree and went through like meat production, horse production, and all that fun stuff, and really enjoyed that and was thinking of more of the veterinary animal science field. And crazy enough, I ended up really focusing more on my visual arts talents, and I thought, well, I finished up with that, and I have a fine arts degree, and I was very involved in doing pottery and Western painting and things like that. So I thought, well, I'll finish there and pursue music. And so I did some flight attending after college, and sort of was able to do a lot of traveling.
Right.
To work on my art and my music outside in Colorado, and sort of really developed a a big interest for the music when I got to Colorado. Still worked on the art and that kind of thing, but music was really became more of my passion, and I wanted to be an entertainer. I felt the need to go ahead and just learn as much as I could vocally and instrumentally, and the songwriting sort of came about that time when I was in Colorado. I was I went to a school, a songwriting school in Lyons, Colorado, and Steve Seskin was my instructor there at this school, and that's where I found the love for songwriting. So, yet I've always stayed involved in the arts and everything like that, but the music was more of an interest later in my life.
Wow.
Interesting, huh?
it is interesting. You know, Gary Roller is a terrific musician and has toured with Michael Martin Murphy for about 25 years, mm-hmm. but his first passion is art. And, he's been able to combine his art and his sculpting with his musical career. And I asked him one time, mm-hmm. if he had to choose between one or the other, what would he do? And he had to pause. And he said, well, mm-hmm. I don't guess I have to choose right now. And I said, well, no, you don't. But that's kind of interesting. You know, a lot of really talented people have interest and talents in more than just one field. And so that's pretty cool. That's something that I didn't know about you until right now. So that's pretty neat. Well, when
so it is kind of a neat thing. You're right.
Yeah, it is. It really is. When did you decide that you wanted to make the move to Nashville?
Well, it was when I was in Colorado. I had I was a flight attendant for a few years out there in the Denver area, and my sister and I were housing out there, and she had met a cowboy, and he was from Wyoming, and so we took a lot of trips up to Wyoming to visit the ranch, and she fell in love, got married, and I thought, well, this is my opportunity to go to Nashville. I've always had the interest. But I just didn't take that step until she actually got married, and I took off and thought, you know, let's take that risk, let's go and do it. And so I went home and packed up everything I had, and that's all I had was what I had within my car. And I thought, well, and I lived with a couple of really nice people here locally in Nashville that put me up for a couple months till I found a place. And from there, it just kind of, I've been here 10 years now, and found a wonderful house and in the Mount Juliet area, and I've just always had that desire to come here, and I probably would have never done it if, you know, wasn't for Deb getting married and the kiddos allowing me to live with them. So it was a great setup for me. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people that have interest in doing things, and some people just are dreamers, and some people are doers. You've done a song mm-hmm. that is on your CD, Stephanie Lane, and it's called mm-hmm. What If I Do? And mm-hmm. Is there a background to this song?
Yeah, I co-wrote this with Scott Southworth. It was one of the first songs that I wrote when I came to Nashville. I met Scott at the Bluebird Cafe, and he is just been a longtime friend of mine, and we just wanted to get together and try to write a song that was optimistic and positive, that talked about taking chances, and, you know, I didn't want to live with that, what if I wouldn't have come, you know, what if I wouldn't have pursued my dream. So I just want to encourage people, you know, they're never too old or too uneducated or to anything, you know, to take a risk and definitely live life to the fullest, you know, and that's what this song is all about, you know, and it's one of my favorites.
Well, it's a great song, and so let's listen to What If I Do by Stephanie Lane. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we'll be back to talk more with Stephanie Lane after this.
What if I forget the words? What if I'm if I do?
Talking with Stephanie Lane, and that's a great song from her self-titled CD, Stephanie Lane, What If I Do? And as I was listening to that song, Stephanie, I was just thinking so many times people mm-hmm. just sit around and say, well, you know, what if I'd done that? And this is a great song, What If I Do? And,
well, thank you.
Yeah, it's more if you don't try.
I'm kind of partial to it.
Well, I don't blame you. I like that song. Well, talk to us a little bit about some of your musical influences. Who's been a big influence in you and helped
inspire me to maybe write some songs? And
yeah.
You know, I will tell you that I've always been a fan of Chris Ledoux. Chris Ledoux, just his music has always just moved me. George Strait, The Judds, Reba McEntire, some of my favorites. So that's always been enjoyable for me to just sit there and listen to them. And of course, when we've been going down, you know, a lot of my family takes a lot of road trips, and when we were younger, my sister and I sort of learned to do harmonies to the Judds tapes and that kind of thing on the road. And
right.
So I credit them, and their simple acoustic harmonies and things like that have always been enjoyable, that's for sure. But
well,
I would probably put Chris Ledoux as number one. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that all of us have regretted the fact that he's been gone way too early,
mm-hmm.
and still go back and enjoy listening to his music. I listened to quite a bit of his music yesterday, as a matter of fact. And you know, sometimes you have a bucket list, and you say, "Well, there's somebody I'd like to have on the show," and I've been fortunate to get a lot of those folks on there. But he would be one that would be on my bucket list. So. a great person to have had to help influence you in your musical career. You mm-hmm. told me an interesting story about how the Stephanie Lane CD came about.
Yeah, it was a pretty cool story, kind of in an unconventional way. I had been here for a number of years in Nashville and not real comfortable about, you hear about in Nashville, there's a bunch of sharks here and there, so you got to watch out where you're, what direction you steer yourself in. And I came across a great producer whom I knew of for a number of years. He used to play in a band back in Minnesota, originally from Minnesota. His name is Nick Hoffman. Mm-hmm. And Nick, at the time, had moved out to Nashville when I joined this Minnesota band. And he got on with the Kenny Chesney road tour. And so he was with Kenny for about 10 years. And Nick had been doing some producing with different artists, but he had never done a female project. And so we just sort of connected in Nashville when I was playing out at Tootsie's Orchid Lounge one night. He came out and he had expressed interest. And I said, sure, I felt like I could trust the guy. He was a nice guy from Minnesota and we'd worked together in the past. So it did work out really great. It was a wonderful project. It was tracked right here in Nashville at Blackbird Studios. And so the skeleton was all sort of done, so to speak, right here in Nashville. And then the rest of all the overdubs and so forth, that all took place in dressing rooms on the Kenny Chesney tour a year and a half ago. So it was a really cool thing, to see that take place. Yet, the motion was there for me. It was a really exciting experience that day at Blackbird Studios. But everything else was, I got pictures from the dressing rooms, or I got the MP3s, that I had to listen to. And then, of course, everything was put together right here when Nick had time, shall we say. So it was a really cool thing, and I was very grateful for his encouragement and his work. He did a great job.
Well, there's a lot of great music on the CD, and I want to take just a minute and encourage people to go and visit your website, stephanielane.com. And there's actually a section in there where you see you guys in the studio. And it was a lot of fun to take a look at that and look at the way that came about to some extent. Mm-hmm. And, I would encourage people to go visit Stephanie Lane, L-A-Y-N-E. .com check out her music there as well. There's a song that we want to do in just a minute called Someone Like Me. And you mm-hmm. mentioned earlier that you had performed with some choirs and you had traveled into Europe. But talk to me a little bit about how it came about that you decided to put this song on this CD.
Well, I've always been a fan of Andy Grick's music and his voice and his songwriting. And I was listening. I bought an album, his Freedom album, and this song was on there. His late brother, Mason Griggs, wrote it. And when I heard it, I just was completely moved. I knew that God was kind of working through that song to speak to my heart. And I believe it was the start of a newfound relationship with Jesus Christ. I've always been a believer, but never felt like I really had a true relationship with Jesus. And so until that time and then hearing that song, and I just thought it really spoke to my heart, and I knew that it had to be on the project, on the album. So I was very, very excited about that. And when I play it out live, it just really moves people, and I can just, I just think it's a terrific song.
Well, one of the things that I've been impressed about with you is that you're mm-hmm. a very genuine person, and I think you. That probably comes across when you're performing live and people get to, mm-hmm. to hear you. We mm-hmm. want to listen to this song, and it's a beautiful song. It really moved me when I heard you sing it. It really highlights, I think, your vocal talents, but it's a song called Someone Like Me. And it's from her Stephanie Lane CD, and we'll be back in a moment. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Wait. before I was born. The Lord thought of me. Before I knew about heartache, my whole life he could see. Before I knew about him, he called me by my all of that. Someone like me. I used to think I was somebody, yeah, when I played. But he filled me with his sweet love, and in his eyes now I'm a star. Yeah, he loves me for what's inside, and that's the way he'll
Someone like me, Stephanie Lane. And Stephanie, that you know, there are a lot of artists that you can put a lot of music behind, and mm-hmm. it really doesn't make any difference how good a singer they are. You know, this really, this really highlights your vocal talents. It's a beautiful song, voice, and just so pleased to have you on the show today. I know that people are listening and being introduced to your music, they'd like to know where they could actually see you perform. Where can we find Stephanie Lane?
I'd love to tell them. Yeah.
All right.
If they are in the Nashville area this weekend, I am playing at the West Haven Porch Fest in Franklin, Tennessee. And I'll be there from 4 to 5 this Saturday. And that's the third annual Porch Fest that they hold, and it's just a neat event where spectators can walk you know, through the neighborhood and hear the music that's played on the porches of that certain neighborhood. So that's what's going on this weekend. And then I do have a few events, one event in July with Purina Mills in Kansas. And they can just check out my website for upcoming dates, stephanielane.com.
All right. Well, I'm going to encourage people to do that. And West Haven is a real neat community over in Franklin. And, you know, we don't have time to play it, but there's a song that's on your CD called Ain't No Neighbors. And probably should have played that before we talked about West Haven, because they have made it more of a community like it used to be out there. So.
Definitely.
And that's, again, that Saturday at West Haven Community in Franklin. And the time, again, is what?
From 4 to 5.
4 to 5 o'clock. So if you're in the Nashville area, Franklin area, Murfreesboro area, anywhere in the Middle Tennessee area, get on over there and you'll enjoy that event with Stephanie Lane. One thing I want to mention, I mean, you're a multi-talented lady. You're just a busy, busy young lady. But one of the things that I was impressed with is that you have a store on eBay that's called Western Garb. How did that come about?
That's right. Well, it started with a bunch of my clothes that I perform in over the years. I kind of got tired of looking at them in my closet. And so I went on eBay and started posting a few, and that just kind of took off from there. And I developed a store called Western Garb, and you can check it out on eBay. And I usually carry about 150 items. And I just enjoy when I'm out touring, picking up, kind of doing some thrifting and that kind of thing, and selling gently used clothing and cowboy boots.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I know none of our listeners out there, none of the ladies out there like Western clothes. So I actually checked out your eBay store yesterday, and it looked like you had a lot of great stuff. I didn't find anything for me, but there was a lot of stuff for ladies on there. So that's a Western Garb on eBay. And you have just been so much fun to talk with. And
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I hope our audience will rush to stephanielane.com and find out how to get your music. As a matter of fact, we're going to close this segment of the show with a song called Can't Quit on You. And I believe that there's something special for our listeners out there. If they want to go to your website, they can get a free download. And how do they do that?
That's right. Just go to stephanielane.com. And if you sign up for my mailing list, I send out a mailer about once a month, and you will get your free download of this current song. It's called Can't Quit You. And it was co-written with Scott Southworth, who is one of the co-hosts of the Music Row Show on WSM Radio. I hope you'll enjoy the song. Thank you.
Well, it's a great song, and Stephanie, you're a joy to talk to. Hope you'll come back and visit with us again. And
I would love it.
Thanks so much for joining us. Go visit stephanielane.com. You can download, you can get a free download on this song, Can't Quit on You. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Ann Clemons, a horsewoman, an artist, and an author out in New Mexico. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. And Stephanie, thanks again.
Thanks again. I'd love to see you again.
I can quit cold turkey, give up cigarettes, walk away from the whiskey without 12 steps, but I can't quit you. I can quit junk food, it goes straight to my hips, but I can't take a night without your sweet lips. I can't quit you. Craving. with you.
To Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we are going from Music City, USA to Santa Fe, the land of enchantment. Ann Clemons, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Gary. I've been having a good time listening to you and Stephanie this morning.
Well, a lot of fun talking with that young lady, but we've been looking forward to talking with you on the show, and we got to visit a little bit yesterday, and I already knew some things about you, but it was a lot of fun to talk with you and find out more about your background in horses and art and your writing. But, you know, you've done something, and I guess it kind of ties back into one of the songs that we did earlier, What If I Do? And tell me about growing up and that trip out to Wyoming that you took as an 18-year-old and how that maybe changed your course in life.
Well, it really did. I grew up in Michigan, and the auto industry was plummeting when I was a teenager. And I took a little visit to Wyoming and fell in love and went back to Michigan with one thing in mind, how to get back to Wyoming. So my father and I went around in circles for a while, and I wrangled a horse trailer and packed up my horse and my dog and headed west.
Well, now you didn't just end up going west, but you went back to, I think, a guest ranch that you visited when you were 18.
Yes, up by Du Bois, Wyoming. As a matter of fact, it was when Chris LeDoux was in his heyday up there.
Oh, yeah.
So you and Stephanie were talking about Chris. So, yes,
right.
I went up there, and the rancher that I worked for, it was a working cattle ranch, third generation, and they took a few guests. And he typically didn't hire women for anything but cooking and cleaning. However, he managed to run off most of his cowboys that summer, and he finally came and asked me if I wanted a job. But after telling me that women can't build fences and women can't shoe horses and women can't. So I had to learn how to do all that so I could prove women could and got my job.
Oh, gosh. Well, what did you do? I mean, what was your job there?
Well, I guess technically it was wrangler. Did a little bit of everything. Since he had lost a lot of his help there in the middle of the summer, those of us that were there did a lot. I did everything from fence building and wrangling horses. We put on rodeos on Sundays for the local ranches and, of course, for the guests at the ranch. And us girls, we rode the steers. And it, was just generally a good time, a gathering of all the local ranchers. It's how they blew off steam on a Sunday. And now I've read on a website from somebody that owns the ranch now that we were historical. So I guess I'm historic.
Oh, gosh. Well, how different was growing up in Michigan to moving to Wyoming at 19?
That was pretty different. I grew up in a small city, large town, and they didn't allow horses in the city limits. So when my parents finally gave in and got me my first pony at the age of 9 going on 10, we had to board it out, which gave my mom great control when it came to homework assignments.
Right.
Chores.
Right.
My mom always told everybody the first word I learned was horse, and the second word I learned was no. And I had a lot of disappointing birthdays and Christmases until I got that first pony.
Oh, wow.
But then I went on to going fox hunting on Saturdays because the barn where we boarded our horses, the man that owned it was, I believe he was master of foxhounds, but it's been too long now, I can't remember. But he would take us as a guest. And then we barrel raced on Sundays and just moved forward from there, and I've never been without a horse since.
Well, that's great. Well, I know that you have a lot of different experiences with horses, and we're going to talk about the book, but we're going to talk about that a little bit later because there's so many interesting things that you've done. How long did you spend at the ranch in Wyoming? And I know that you got involved in dressage. At what point did that happen?
Well, I was a little bit involved with dressage just before I left Michigan, but it wasn't very quality. And I didn't hit on it again until I moved to New Mexico. So I was in Wyoming for a year. I worked on the ranch for a year, got to take herds of wild horses up the mountain and back down the mountain and outward bound people up the mountain and back down the mountain. And then at a mutual friend's wake, I ran into a rancher from Du Bois that he and his wife were moving to New Mexico.
Okay.
And he wanted somebody to start colts for him. And so the bartender introduced us at the wake. And he said he would call me when my contract was up with the ranch. And this was, I think, in like May or June, and my contract was up in October at the end of the season. And sure enough, he called, which I never really expected. And I packed up my horse and my dog, and off I went to New Mexico. And it was not long after I got here that I got more into the dressage. So
okay.
I'd been 2021 when I really got into it.
Okay, so we've gone from Michigan at 18 to Wyoming, and now we're about 20 or 21 years old, and we're in New Mexico starting colts. And I think you were involved with racehorses, too, did you tell me?
Yeah, the man and his wife that brought me to New Mexico to work for them, he was a roper, and he also brought home claimers off the Santa Fe racetrack. And we would, you know, work on whatever issues they had and put them out to pasture for the winter and then start fitting them up for the racetrack again. So I was doing that for him. And then when, I'm not really sure what happened with them, but they sold the ranch here and decided to move, I went to work for a trainer at the Santa Fe track for a while.
Okay. All right. Now, were these thoroughbreds or quarter horses? Because I know both. Okay. Because I know that Ruidosa is like the capital for quarter horse racing there in New Mexico.
Oh, yes. Well, and Santa Fe, of course, was pretty huge back in the 80s. It's a really nice track. And they closed it down when they opened up the casinos out here because it was owned by tribal. I'm not sure which Pueblo owned that. But anyway, they closed the track down when they opened up the casinos. But Santa Fe track, they had stakes races, they had claiming races, they ran quarter horses and thoroughbreds, and it was a really great way to get some good horses. If they weren't fast enough, they sold pretty cheap. So
right. Well, I know that, and I haven't talked about this a lot on the show, but I lived in El Paso, Texas, for a few years, and of course the closest place closest place for me to go was over into New Mexico. So you'd go over to Las Cruces and then on up to Cloudcroft and Ruidosa and up toward Albuquerque. But a lot of horses that came off of the racetrack, the quarter horses, they turned into polo ponies.
Oh, there you go. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there was a big market for horses that had come from the racetrack to give them another life. And I actually boarded at a barn in El Paso where they brought the quarter horses so that they could put a handle on them so that they could maneuver the polo field pretty well.
Yes.
Did you do any racing? Did you ride? Did you ever compete? Did you ride?
No, I was way too big to be a jockey. I'm 5'8½". Most people think I'm 6'10". And I did a lot of, you know, fitting them up at home and then bringing them back down off their fitness when they came back for a rest. And I did a lot of starting the colts. But no, I wasn't a jockey in the race. Just weighed too much.
Okay. All right. Well, most of the jockeys are not very tall fellas, so that's or girls, either one. So that's interesting. Well, you know, it seems that you are truly what I would call a cowgirl. And we want to take a quick break and listen to a song by Belinda Gale, and it's called Cowgirl Creed. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Ann Clemons about her interesting life and her experiences with horses. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
She said, "I can do that. It wouldn't take nothing but a whole lot of heart, iron will and gumption. I'll just use what the good Lord gave me. So don't call me honey, don't call me baby." Cowgirl Creed. I dream as big as Texas, work hard and I'm faithful. I never cease to be amazed, dedicated and grateful. I try to be a good hand when a hand's just needed, and I'll stay that way long as I'm living and breathing. Die with my boots on. I ride high in the saddle, always saddle my own horse. Still I'm every inch a lady, from the outside to the core. I take the trail less traveled, 'cause I know where it leads. I live my life the cowgirl
Cowgirl Creed. And Anne, did you ever consider yourself to be a cowgirl?
Well, maybe a little bit when I was ranching.
Right, right. Well, you know, we were talking about your time at the track working with these colts, but you've had a continued involvement with horses in a lot of different areas. You've been involved with the wild horses somewhat, I think, haven't you?
Yes, that was later on, maybe 15 years ago. I got involved with the New Mexican Horse Project here, and they specialized in going in and rounding the wild horses up on foot when they heard there was going to be a government roundup to keep mm-hmm. them from going in with the helicopters and to try to get as many horses out alive. And then their deal was to DNA test back to the Spanish blood, and the horses tested to the Spanish blood, they would put on their own preserves, and then they'd find other reserves for the horses that were descendants of people's ranch horses or whatever. So that was kind of their deal, and that was a lot of fun. And we got some horses off the range up in Colorado and sent them up to another preserve in South Dakota and whatnot. So I have a Spanish Mustang sitting in my yard as we speak.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, haven't they started a Spanish Mustang registry?
Yes, they have. And he's registered. His name is Buffalo Jack.
Did you name
yes,
him?
Yes. I'm sorry?
Did you name him?
No, he came to me with that name. He was
okay.
already registered when he was passed on to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just wondered where Buffalo Jack came from. As far
well,
as the name is.
He's just kind of a tough sort, and he really thinks he's a stallion, even though he's not anymore. He came down from Wyoming. He was a wild horse. He wasn't bred. He wasn't intentionally bred. He was on the range.
Right.
And they brought him down, and he's quite an interesting guy. There's quite a bit going on with the horse rescue and wild horse issues here in New Mexico, as well as Nevada and a few other, and Wyoming and Montana, and it's gotten real interesting.
Well, are there are you still involved actively with the Mustangs outside of owning Buffalo Jack?
Not a whole lot. I have some friends that have some really interesting programs going on, one of them being trying to dart the mares in the wild horse herds for birth control, to try to keep
mm-hmm.
the herds smaller so they don't have to be rounded up and sent wherever. And
right.
that's a very good project. That's a wonderful project. They just there's a movie that they just put out, a documentary called Roaming Wild, that is very interesting, that shows all the sides of this thing. So
okay.
I'm involved in that. I have a lot of friends that are heavily involved, but I'm not out there rounding them up anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, how has your involvement with horses continued? I know that you have become more involved, or had become more involved, with the dressage.
Yes. Well, you know, it was very useful when I was rescuing horses off the track and retraining them. Often the quarter horses went to cattle horses, or like you said, polo, and the thoroughbreds would go to be jumpers or dressage horses. But since dressage works so well as a fitness program for rehabbing horses, I got deeply into it in that respect in the beginning. And then as I went, of course, I just followed the yellow brick road and just kept with the dressage. But I really am into applying the dressage to all the disciplines and how useful it is for that.
Okay. All right. Well, is that something that you do? You do classes now, or what is your involvement with that?
Well, most recently I've taught clinics around the country, and I've judged a lot of schooling shows. Right now, at this moment, I have just moved to the hacienda where I am near Santa Fe,
mm-hmm.
and I'm busy trying to get things set up. So I am available to teach, but I've kind of been out of it for a little while.
Okay, all right. Well, I want to talk just a little bit about your art, because you know I knew about the writing, but you're quite the artist as well. And I believe that there's a website for that, Four Winds Equestrian Art?
Four Winds Equestrian Arts, and that's with the numeral four.
Okay.
And, yes, that has pieces of my writing and pieces of my clay tile murals, and then a little bit of talk about what I do with the horses. And we hope to be starting up some clinics here in the fall at the Hacienda. That's kind of where I'm headed now. So,
right. How did you get involved in the art?
Oh, well, I was always into art. I took every art class ever offered all the way through school. And I was lucky that when I was in school, there were still a lot of art classes offered. And oil painting was more my thing for years. And I just ran into a girl that had a clay studio and got into the clay tile murals, and that was a lot of fun because I could play in the mud and still do my painting when I had to glaze them. So.
Right.
And, of course, the big one with the two horses on it, those are Mustangs running across the high desert of New Mexico, and the bay horse is Jack, Buffalo Jack.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So you can see that either on the website, and also I think that's on your Facebook page.
Yes,
as
it is.
Well. So, now, are you available to create clay tile art for people?
Absolutely. I am available to do pretty much anything they want on it, but my specialty would be horses.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about how Wild Spirits Running with the Herd came about. And how did you begin your writing?
Well, I never really thought of myself as a writer. My mother was always asking me, are you taking notes for your book, every time I went somewhere cross-country with the horses and had an adventure. And it never occurred to me until about 12 years ago, I went back to school for fun and took some writing classes, and all of my instructors were jumping up and down telling me I should write. And even then, I didn't really do much once I stopped going to classes. And one day I pulled out these two short stories that I had written for a creative writing class, and those wound up being the first two chapters of Wild Spirits. I just looked at them and said, oh, gosh, you know, those kind of work together. So I rewrote them a little bit, and then the book kind of took on a life of its own.
Okay, all right. Well, tell us a little bit about the book. And I believe that you told me that the locations were real, but the characters were not necessarily.
Yes, the locations are real locations here in New Mexico. The characters are all fictional. You know, I guess there's pieces of me in each of them that would make sense, but they're not really representative of any particular person. And the events are mostly real.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to say that there are two main characters in the book. Hawk, which is a wild stallion, and Elena?
Elena, yes.
Elena, who is an orphan teenager. How did that come about? How did the relationship between this wild stallion and this orphan teenager come together?
Well, they both wound up on the same ranch. He was in a government roundup, and typically wild stallions that have been rounded up off the plains or out of the wild are not going to be adoptable. They're older, they're stallions. And so he was in pretty rough shape and went through the sale barn and was purchased by George, whose ranch he went to. And Elena had been in the foster system for 7 years and had been taken from the reservation, from her culture, from her family, everything she knew. Her parents had died, and put into homes, foster homes in the city, and was a runner. And she kept trying to run back to the reservation where there was nobody for her. And so as a last resort, they put her out on this ranch on the high desert of New Mexico, and that's where she met Hawk, the stallion. She named him, by the way.
She named him. Okay.
Yeah, she named it.
Unlike Buffalo Jack, that just, you know, he came with that name.
That's
okay.
Right.
All right. Well, I want to play a song by Junie Fisher. It's one that I think kind of connects things with people and horses. It's called a song "Listen," and we're going to take a listen to that, and we'll be back to talk with Ann Moore about wild spirits running with the herd. When we come back on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Once would you try to hear what I hear, see the world through my eyes, not just through my ears. This horse has a voice. Do you know something's missing?
I love when you try.
Junie Fisher's Listen, and we're talking with Ann Clemons about her book, Wild Spirits, Running with the Herd. And, Ann, you know, horses and people have a healing influence on each other. So as you're telling the story of Hawk and Elena, what type of healing takes place through this?
Well, this story is about going back to your culture, your childhood dreams, your history, your ancestors, in order to find those pieces of your soul or spirit that might have been lost over the years and to move forward with your life. And as people have been recognizing now for a while, horses tend to create healing in people through mirroring things that happen in everyday life and helping people through that. So that's what this story is about, how they meet and help each other.
Okay. All right. And have you had experience in dealing with equine therapy programs yourself?
Yes. I went to an EGALA workshop in early 2002, and that's the Equine Assisted Growth and Learning Association, mm-hmm. and got certified through that and have worked with different therapists and their clients over the years using the horses, and it's pretty amazing how well it works. I've had many therapists tell me that they get 10 times the information from a client in one session with the horses that they would get in the clinical setting. So it's really awesome. And, you know, people come around the horses and they just relax and find a healing experience, whether that's why they came or not.
Right. Well, and I would assume that in some cases that has the same effect on these horses.
Yes, horses are herd animals, and they really enjoy being around people and hanging out, and if they're the right people, they also create a healing experience for the horses.
Well, I know that we talked a little bit about a course that you are working on and putting together that kind of ties back to the book. Can you tell us a little bit about
that? As a matter of fact, the first course is coming out on Saturday, solstice, mm-hmm. summer solstice. And what I've tried to do is combine my past experience with horses, practical horsemanship and dressage, with the equine-assisted therapy and learning theories and principles, and to create a course that is interesting and helpful to horse people and non-horse people. We hope to take these courses forward into workshops here at the Hacienda that will also be for horse people with their horses and for people without horses, to help them with some self-discovery, to go looking for those dreams they might have lost, and to inspire some creativity in the process.
Well, that sounds exciting, and I think you said that first course was available this week?
Saturday. It comes
Saturday.
Out on the 21st. That's Saturday, isn't it?
Right.
It'll be on my web. There will be a link to purchase that course on the Four Winds Equestrian Arts website.
Okay, all right.
And as a part of that, whoever orders it would get a copy of Wild Spirits Running with the Herd, as well as a workbook and a slide, guided imagery slides that go with it.
Okay,
so,
all right.
That would be what the package looks like.
All right, so that's going to be available both online, and then you'll be doing workshops yourself at the Hacienda there. And what is the name of the community that you're in? Because I can never pronounce that.
It's Powake.
Powake. Okay.
Yes.
Powake, New Mexico. Powake, New Mexico.
New Mexico. We're about 20 minutes from Santa Fe.
What is it meant to you to be living in that area? Because Santa Fe is an area that I've never gotten to, and that is on my bucket list for the next 12 months to make it out to Santa Fe and Taos and Red River?
Well, you know, there's a lot of history here, and there's a lot of history in Taos, and I was just up there before I moved down here. And it just kind of gets to you, and you don't want to leave it. I have come and gone over the years, but basically most of my life has been here since 1981. In New Mexico. And Santa Fe is kind of a hub. You know, I've lived down by Albuquerque and up by Taos, but Santa Fe is the area that people tend to gather. Like where I'm sitting right now, I'm surrounded by several Pueblo tribal lands, and the ski hills, and, you know, just everything is close to Santa Fe, and it has such an incredible history to it that it keeps life interesting.
Well, it's there's so much art, so much history that's connected to Santa Fe, that
and lots of cultures. Yeah.
A lot of cultures, I'm sure. It has to be a place that is somewhat inspiring for your writing, I would think.
Absolutely, you know, with that book, all the places in Wild Spirits are real. I mean, the ranch where I was living on the high desert. It did have ancient ruins within hiking distance of the ranch. There's ruins all over the state, you know. And then you get up into the Four Corners area, and there's Chaco, and there's all those different ones up there. And there's just so much to do, and there's lots and lots of artists and lots of musicians, writers. I mean, a lot of the history is the path that the writers and the artists followed, from like Ghost Ranch up in Abiquiu and Bishop's Lodge in Santa Fe, and, you know, all these places where the writers and artists hung out back in the 30s. There's a lot of history attached to that. So, you know, you could spend a lot of time here and never run out of things to do, and it's so beautiful, and it just inspires, and that's why everybody hangs out here.
Yeah. Well, and I understand that you are somewhat inspired to begin a second book.
Yes, I need to write the sequel to Wild Spirits. There are a lot of people asking for it. I have orders for it already, so I guess I better get busy.
Oh, wow.
Several couple businesses have ordered it already.
Oh, gosh, you're going to have to be producing then, so that's a good thing. That is a good thing. All right, so now where can people go to buy Wild Spirits Running with the Herd?
They can go to, I have a second website, which is specifically for the book, which is annclemens.com.
Okay.
That's easy. And they can order a signed copy there through PayPal. There's also a link to the electronic book, the Kindle. It can also be bought through Amazon. It's on Amazon.
Okay.
And then here in the States, it's in several of the local bookstores in Taos, Santa Fe, and Albuquerque, and it's selling really well out of the feed and tax stores.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to mention, too, that people can go to the general store at equestrianlegacy.net. And there is a link there to Wild Spirits Running with the Herd. So fascinating read. We'd encourage people to pick that book up and be sure and check out the online course that's going to be available on Saturday. That would be, and I guess that's going to be on Four Winds Equestrian Art. Is that where that link will be, or on AnnClemens.com?
Yes, and there's, you know, the two websites link to each other. So if they go to AnnClemens.com, they can get to Four Winds from there, and vice versa. And by the way, just as a little side note, Saturday is also the Santa Fe Rodeo.
Oh, wow.
And I'll have a booth going there for anybody who's listening
all right.
to Santa Fe.
All right. Well, there are always a lot of things going on up there.
Always. You know, there's Indian Market, there's Santa Fe Rodeo. It just goes on and on and on. You bet. It's wonderful.
Wow.
And
well,
I'm hoping that people will want to come and visit in the fall, come stay at the Hacienda and do some workshops and take some side trips.
Well, that would be great. Now, do you know when you're going to start that?
I'm kind of hoping for September or October,
okay.
But we don't have exact dates yet. We're working on that.
All right, so they can check the website for that to see when those workshops are going to be available, and participate in those, and then get out and visit the Santa Fe and the Taos area while you're there. So
I'll be happy to show people around.
All right. Well, you've got a guide, so what more could you ask for on that? So, all right. Well, Ann, it has been a pleasure to talk with you, and look forward to talking with you again. And, you know, when the second book comes out, we're going to have you back on the show, if not before then.
Oh, what fun. Absolutely.
Be a lot of fun.
Always enjoy talking to you.
Well, thank you for joining us on the show today. We'll talk with you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Gary.
All right. Thanks, Ann. All right. Well, we've enjoyed the show today. We've talked with Stephanie Lane and enjoyed her great music, and also visiting with Ann Clemons, the author of Wild Spirits Running with the Herd. And again, her website is Ann Clemons, CLEMONS.com. So check that out and pick up a copy of Wild Spirits Running with the Herd. We have a great show lined up next week. We're going to talk about light hands horsemanship, and our guest is going to be Mary Ann Kennedy, and we look forward to that show as well. We remind you that Equestrian Legacy Radio is brought to you by our great sponsors at the General Store and the gallery at East of Santa Fe on equestrianlegacy.net. So be sure and visit with our sponsors there on those two pages at equestrianlegacy.net. We remind you that Equestrian Legacy Radio comes to you live each Thursday at high noon Central Standard Time and is also available to go back and listen to all of our shows in an archive podcast at our website, equestrianlegacy.net. As always, we remind you, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. And we're going to close out the show today with a beautiful song by Michael Martin Murphy that ties right in with our New Mexico guest. It's called Land of Enchantment. Thanks for listening.
I met a lady in my drifting day. I quickly fell under the spell of her loving ways. A rose in the desert, I loved her so. In the land of enchantment, New Mexico, we watched the by the Rio Grande, the mission bell rang farewell. She took my hand. She said, come back, amigo, no matter where you go, to the land of enchantment, New Mexico. New Mexico.